Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is my Thursday. This is Level Up with Danny, episode 25. Today's episode is all about the letter P. So I don't know how I came up with this idea. I think it started because I was watching football, and I was watching these two quarterbacks, Michael Penix and J.J. McCarthy, both really young kids, and they were talking about J.J. McCarthy's week. He played on, I think he played Monday Night Football, then his wife had a baby, and then he was on again on Sunday night. I could be getting my days mixed up, but long story short, the kid had a week, quite the week. And I started thinking about the pressure on these young athletes. So I did a little research. Well, actually, I asked my husband three questions, and he gave me the answers, and then I kind of started thinking about pro sports. So that's how the P came to be. So maybe everybody knows this. I did not. When you want to play in the NFL, you must go to 3 years of college. So if, let's say, you start college at age 18, you do 3 years of college, you're going to be drafted in the NFL at 21 or maybe 22 years old. If you want to play in the NBA, you have to complete 1 year of college. So you can be drafted into the NBA at age 19. If you started college at 17, like my daughter did, you could be 18 years old and drafted into the NBA. In the MLB, that's baseball, you don't have to go to any college. You could be drafted into the major leagues right out of high school. I mean, you're probably not going to go to the big leagues, but you're going to be in the farm system somewhere. And hockey and soccer are in a league of their own because those two professional sports, I mean, I don't even think you have to graduate high school. I think you can literally be drafted for hockey and soccer in like your sophomore year of high school. And you'll be put into like their academy system. But I just think pro sports with these young kids, it's so much pressure. And as a mother, I worry about this kind of pressure because, and I know that the NIL changed a lot of the financial part of it because some of these kids are in college and they're making major bank in the NIL. But let's just take like a typical path to professional sports. You play high school, you know, you're a five-star recruit or whatever. You go to college to play sports. Yes, you're getting an education, but you're there for the sports. And then you get drafted, and you're young. I mean, you're definitely under 25. And in many cases, depending on the sport, you could be a minority. And maybe came from poverty, and you're now you're a professional athlete with these big salaries, and you're thrust into the world of grown-ups, and these are real grown-ups. These professional athletes are grown-ups, not the rookies, the veterans in all the sports. These are grown men, and you're in there next to them, and you're making as much money as them, sometimes more than some of the players because you're like the big recruit. And you're 21, 22 years old. And like, where is your balance? Where are you getting like your stability from? You know, is it your high school girlfriend that she's still with you and, you know, you guys are kind of navigating it together? And when you're not on the field, you're still like a young man. Well, so this J.J. McCarthy is 22 years old. He's married and he just had his first kid. He's 22. I mean, I have a 22-year-old daughter, and that scares the heck out of me. Like, you're too young to be a parent, and you're also don't have the luxury of being a parent and being independently wealthy. So it got me all worked up. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have to talk about this. Is everyone so stressed about this? Which I don't think the typical demographic who watches professional sports even really thinks about the individuals the way that I'm thinking about them. Not that I'm special, but, you know, the way a mother would think about them, or a father, or a parent in general, because it's entertainment. I mean, for the most part, we watch professional sports because it's entertaining and we want to root for our team and, you know, we want to follow the players and their successes. And, you know, we get a little glimpse into what their life is like outside of the sports. But for the most part, we're not thinking deeply about this. And I was just so struck about how many young athletes are married, having babies, and maybe in their first or second year of professional sports. And I just think it's too much. I mean, I don't have a solution. I mean, I think that everyone should go to 4 years. If you're an athlete, you should go to 4 years of college and then start your, whatever your job's going to be, if professional sports is your job. But, I mean, you can't mandate that. And aside from the NFL, I think every other team has, like, what do we call them? Minor leagues, you know, a feeder system. But the NFL doesn't really have that. I mean, you could be on the practice squad, I guess. It's just bizarre to me. And I don't even know why I thought of it or why I think of it now and never thought of it before. But that was my first P word, pro sports. My second P word is politics. And there's been a lot in the last, I'm going to say, 2 weeks, but it's been forever. But in the last 2 weeks, it's been like laser focus on politics and what is going on. What have we become? Between the Kirk guy that died and Jimmy, or got assassinated or murdered, and Jimmy Kimmel getting taken off the air because of what he said about that killing assassination. I mean, we're off the rails here, people. We are off the rails. There is, my next P word is preternatural. And preternatural is a word that has always confounded me. But what it means is beyond what is normal or natural. Preternatural. It's hard to say. Preternatural. Anyways, I think our focus on politics is preternatural. It's beyond what is normal or natural. The divisiveness is preternatural. The extremism, preternatural. People are confusing facts with beliefs, beliefs with opinions. And all of these ways of getting to whatever your political proclivity is, it's not organic. It is so influenced by social media, which is new in a way that, you know, the way I grew up, how did I know about politics? I mean, I've always watched the news my entire life. It was like, we're CBS News people. I've watched the news, the nightly news. I always loved all the news shows like 2020, Dateline. What was that one with Ted Koppel? Nightline. You know, I used to watch the Barbara Walters things, you know, and then it was Oprah and like her specials. Anyways, I'm into news. And I, you know, there was a time when politics and entertainment news were separate. And I don't know when it got enmeshed and what that path to enmeshment looked like. But politics nowadays is all about entertainment. I mean, you're not going to get elected if you're not appealing to the demographic that is glued to the social media. And 80% of social media is entertainment. The 20% that's not entertainment, that's actual information, is preternatural, in my opinion. My opinion, that is not a belief. That is not based on fact. It's just my opinion. anyways, it's just we're in such a low spot. And again, this is a girl with no solutions. All I have is gentle musings of a 62-year-old wife, mother, Democrat, centrist. And in my gentle musings, I find myself disgusted and sad. And I don't know if those two emotions even can coexist, or if they're polar opposites, or if they're in the same family. But some of the extremism and some of the verbiage and some of the hyperbole that is in our world around politics and these domestic terrorist acts and the equation, which includes violence and freedom of speech and constitutional rights, and that muddy, muddy waters. It's very upsetting. I don't know if it's upsetting to the extreme right or the extreme left, but I know that it's upsetting to the centrists. And I think we need to put our focus back on the center. We need to silence the extremes. We need to, like, make those extreme views, shine a light on them for the extremists that they are, instead of trying to fold them into normality, because it's preternatural. 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 I'm going to get that right. I should ask my little, you know, how do you pronounce a word thing? And I might do that during my break. Okay, so we've done pro sports. We've done politics, because I have to get off politics. We've done preternatural. I'm going to take a break, and I'm going to do just a little bit of radio business, because it's important. It's part of my job, and I'm here for it. So we have our little underwriters, and they're very important to us. This is community radio. We are community funded. And community radio is important, and we got to keep this voice alive. So I'm doing underwriters number 27 and 28. I have no idea who they are or what they are, but we'll listen together.
Cows thanks Fawn Necton of Open Door Insurance Services, a family-owned and operated insurance agency providing solutions based on product knowledge and expertise in personal, business, specialty, and nonprofit insurance. You can reach them at 707-874-2666 or from their website at opendoorins.com.
Cows thanks Molesbury Market for their underwriting support. Established in 1959, they are a family-owned grocer located on Old Redwood Highway in the Larkfield Center. Their website is molesburymarket.com. Molesbury's Market tunes into the Roots of Rock every Sunday morning at 7 on Cows Community Radio.
The Sebastopol Community Cultural Center is a nonprofit organization founded in 1982. They are dedicated to enriching the community through events, classes, and services, as well as providing rental spaces for special happenings in our town. To contact the SCCC, to volunteer, to donate, or just check out their events, visit seb.org or give them a call at 707-823-1511.
A big cow's thanks goes out to Heidi at ShipshapeSystems.com for her support of community radio. Heidi works to help clients bring mind, body, and spirit in harmony using a process called conscious connected breathing. To find out more about her service, you can visit ShipshapeSystems.com.
Ooh, I like the thought of conscious connected breathing. I'm going to try that. And then I wanted to say about Molesbury Market. That's my neighborhood market, too. My husband loves Molesbury's. He likes to go there at least once a week. Okay, my next P is periods. Now, I'm talking about not the punctuation periods. I'm talking about the periods, the monthly menstruation. It seems like nobody has periods anymore. Like, we have manipulated them with, like, long-acting birth control. Like, there's, like, a seasonal, I think it's called. But it's like you take a pill every day, and you, every day for 3 months, let's say, and then you take a placebo and you actually have a period. But you only have, like, a period every 3 months, so 4 times a year. And I just wonder if the manipulation of our menstrual cycle has led to the infertility issues. No one's having kids anymore. It's a real problem worldwide. And I just wonder if some of this is infertility rather than a conscious choice. Although I do think conscious choice plays a big part in people not having kids, especially if you go back to my previous P on politics and all the unrest and dis-ease that's going on in our country right now. But I'm just so confused by why no one's having periods anymore. People put in like IUD or something and like you don't have a period. I mean, a period when I was growing up and when I was a young woman was like, I mean, it was, yeah, kind of a pain, whatever, it's every month, but it was also like, I'm a woman, like I'm alive, like I'm normal, like I have a cycle, like all the names that you attribute to periods. And I know that there's like period tracking apps, but with the dissolving of our Roe v. Wade and the, you know, no abortion is illegal, that some states that are anti-abortion were using period tracking apps to track periods and see when people got pregnant. Oh my God, is that real? It's like there's so much access to private information out there. What happened to privateness? Privacy. What happened to privacy? Anyways, that was just, again, I don't have a period anymore. Obviously, I'm old as hell. But I just wonder, like, these kids who are, like, manipulating their cycle so they can be on swim team or the gymnastics team or wear their booty short. I don't know. I mean, why are you manipulating your period? I mean, I get manipulating your period maybe for your wedding day. I don't know. Do I get that? I'm not sure. Anyways, that's another generation. It's definitely not my generation. Okay, another P. Pontificate. So I came across this word about 2 weeks ago. I mean, I've heard it before in my life, but I came across this word about 2 weeks ago and I was talking to my husband because we heard, I think it was on a sports show. Oh my God, that's all we watch. It might have been like a pregame and they were talking about someone and they're like, with all of your pontificating. My husband's like, what's that word? And I was like, oh my God, I'm sure you know someone who's a pontificator. And they just go on, and they're such an expert and blah, 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 which of course I'm laughing because here I am on the radio talking about leveling up with Danny and I'm pontificating about the letter P and all the P things that I want to talk about. But I try not to be a pontificator because it's so off-putting. But I think everyone knows someone in their life who is a pontificator, and they just pontificate. And I think that we have to call those people out. We need to say, stop. I stopped listening to you 5 minutes ago. Like, I don't care anymore. Stop. Pontification is something that should be left to the pontiff, the pope. He can pontificate all he wants. That's kind of in his job description. But, you know, we all know those people, right? And it's a turnoff. So, poo-poo on pontification. Okay, my next P is polyamorous. And it's not exactly the correct usage of the word, but there's all of these things coming at me about these, which I consider to be under the heading of polyamorous, but these relationships, these Netflix shows, these books. So let me rewind a little bit. So there's a show on Netflix. It's called The Hunting Wives. And when I saw it advertised, I was like, oh, like I know some of those actresses. And for some reason, I thought it was women married to men who are hunters. And like it was going to be like they're abandoned during hunting season. And I, of course, started thinking about my friends who have husbands who are deer hunters. And they, you know, go out to the, what do they call it? The blind, and they're out there, and or they're duck hunters or whatever, and they're, you know, out for days at deer camp hunting. And like maybe this is what the wives do when the husbands are away, which I guess it was kind of about that. But it was also about all these married women who get together with their friends. They're married women and mothers. So they're mothers and wives, and they get together. They have like a lake house where they all get together. They have like whatever, Tequila Tuesday, and they're making out with each other. Like they're having sex with each other. These are women having sex with women, even though they're married. And I mean, we get a peek behind the curtain at some of their marriages, which, ooh, scary. But like, I was talking to my daughter. I was like, this is so extra. I mean, I literally watched this series with my hands up, peeking through my fingers. Like, it was too much for me. I didn't want to see all that. See, it's making me cough. It's getting me upset. Okay. Anyways, my daughter says that I'm naive, that this happens and it's not that weird. And of course, what does she know? She's 22. But, and I, you know, y'all heard about like the girl that's like, oh yeah, well in college there was the one drunk night where I kissed my roommate or whatever. This is not that. This is like real on the side sexual relationship with one of your girlfriends. I don't know people like this. I'm sorry. Or maybe I do, and I don't know that I do. I mean, I have a lot of different friend groups. Like, I have my old friends from, you know, Ohio. I have my, you know, new friends from California. I have my friends who are wives of my husband's friends. I have my friends from soccer moms. I have friends from my exercising things that I do. I don't know people like this. But then in that same vein of polyamorous, there was also a story about men doing this on the quote DL, on the down low, and that this isn't shocking, that this really happens. And this isn't, I mean, you know, people say, oh, you're 2 tequila shots away from coming to the other side. This is not that. This is men who are happily married, maybe fathers, doing some homosexual stuff on the DL. I don't know. I mean, is this all part of the demise of our civilization? And then you got the Mormon wives, the mom talk, the TikTokers, the Mormon wives, and some of their enmeshment is really questionable. 2 of the Mormon wives are on Dancing with the Stars this season, and 1 of the Mormon wives is the Bachelorette. So how is she a Mormon wife if she's a Bachelorette? I know she's got kids. Is she divorced? Are you allowed to get divorced if you're a Mormon? Anyways, so that those people, those women are part of the mainstream, but they're doing polyamorous stuff. And then, oh my gosh, I started reading a book. I read a lot of books. This is my new book. It is by Elizabeth Gilbert. It's called All the Way to the River. Elizabeth Gilbert, for those of you who can't put the name with the face, wrote the book Eat, Pray, Love. I mean, she's prolific. She's famous. This book, All the Way to the River, is about her love affair with someone who was her best friend, who she was in love with. And they finally, whatever, 14 years into the friendship, became lovers. I don't know. I mean, I just don't understand it. Maybe I am naive. Maybe I'm way more, what's the word? Prudish. Oh, it's a P word. Than I thought I was. I don't know. It's a lot. Let me just say it's a lot. Okay. I have a few more P words, and I had some of my Facebook followers give me their P words, but I'm going to do a little radio business. So there's a big Railroad Square Music Festival coming up on Sunday, September 28th, which is not this coming Sunday, next Sunday. Sonoma County's premier music festival is just around the corner. Mark your calendars for Sunday, September 28th, for the Railroad Square Music Festival, a free celebration held from noon to 7 p.m. in downtown Santa Rosa. Multiple stages featuring local musicians and DJs delivering everything from folk and rock to electronic and hip-hop. Cal's Community Radio will be present, and we hope you'll swing by and say hi to your favorite hosts. We'll have swag, schedules, and some information about how you can get involved. Remember this date, Sunday, September 28th. Visit RailroadSquareMusicFestival.com for more information about sponsors and the lineup for the multiple stages. I wish so much that I could go to this, so I could, like, meet some of my listeners. I mean, that would be cool. I don't even know if I have any listeners that are local. But anyways, I'm going to be out of town. I'm going to go visit my daughter who moved to Dallas in August. I'm going to go visit her that weekend. So I won't be able to be there for the Railroad Square Music Festival. But you'll see my, if you go and you stop by the Cal's booth, you'll see my show on the schedule. I'm going to have to take a swig of water because suddenly I'm coughing. And I really haven't been coughing today yet. Okay. Next is a Cal's program promotion announcement. I'm going to be promoting Blue Moon Americana. Americana sounds, new and old, are curated and shared each morning from 5 to 7 a.m. Pacific on the Americana Hours. You can also tune in for some live curation from Deeper Roots host Dave Stroud on Thursday mornings. You'll always find a blend of the very best of the many genres and styles that congregate under that big tent where folk, country, gospel, bluegrass, soul, blues, and rock blend into a delicious Americana stew. Tune in on Thursday mornings at 9 Pacific here on Cal. So that's a lot of, there's a lot of different, the Americana Hours is 5 to 7 a.m. every day. The Deeper Roots is on Thursday mornings at 9 a.m. So those are two different shows, both Americana sounds. Okay. How are we doing on time? Pretty good. Okay, my next P word is Pilates. So Level Up with Dani all started because I wanted to chronicle my wellness journey that started when I was 60. I just celebrated my 2-year sober anniversary on September 15th, and I started doing Pilates maybe about a year and a half ago. And I do one-on-one Pilates with my Pilates instructor, Tammy, at Windsor Pilates, Pilates on the Green in Windsor. And she has been teaching Pilates for 30 years, so she is a master Pilates instructor. And I don't do floor Pilates, and I don't do hot Pilates. I do classic Pilates on the trap table, on the reformer. We do some work with like springs, you know, like off the wall, like to work on my, you know, walking, different things. Anyway, she is brilliant. And Pilates is a craze right now. There's so much in social media about Pilates. I mean, literally my For You page on TikTok probably gives me 5 Pilates things a day. And some of the Pilates, like people, which I'm not following any of them, but I do watch their videos. I'm just like, oh my gosh, Pilates is so hard. But when I go to Pilates, and it is hard. I mean, some of the things are hard, but I don't even know how to set anything up. Like if I wasn't doing one-on-one Pilates, I wouldn't even know what to do. Like if I went into a class, I'd be like, are you going to like fix the machine and hook up the springs and, you know, do all the, because that's what Tammy does for me. She does all of that for me. So I don't have to, I'm not there trying to figure out what Pilates is. I'm being guided and assisted. And I mean, sometimes I say things like, I'm not having a good day, or I don't feel good, or my blood pressure's erratic, or I feel nauseous, but I still feel like I could go to Pilates because mostly I'm laying down. And that's not discounting the degree of difficulty. It's just, I don't know, it's just a different feeling that I have about Pilates. Although I did miss Pilates on Monday because I wasn't feeling good, because I have been having some blood pressure issues and some nerve pain and blah, 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 and different medication challenges that I've been experimenting with. But anyways, the Pilates craze is real. It's everywhere. There's many different kinds of Pilates. My suggestion, if you're going to start Pilates, don't go to a class. You'll cry. Go to a one-on-one private session and figure out if Pilates is for you. I don't know if Pilates is for everyone. I never thought Pilates would be for me. But my trainer at the gym has said to me countless times, my trainer at the gym, Larry, has said to me countless times that Pilates is really improving my overall fitness. So Pilates is working for me. So it must be for me. Okay, my next P is parenting. And let me just give a qualifier, or a, what do you call that when you're, it's not a trigger warning. Anyways, let me just say about parenting. My girls are grown, 24 and about to be 23. And the parenting that I did from 0 to 18 was all in. All consuming. Like I was in every part of the parenting. Now I did work a little bit when Grace was little, so I did have some babysitting. And then when I had two, under two, I did have a nanny for a time, Brittany. She was, I mean, heaven sent. But most of the parenting that I did was full on, soup to nuts, dawn to dusk, sometimes 24 hours a day. And even though my girls are grown and they don't live here, one's in San Diego, one's in Dallas, I still am a parent every day. And it's the best job you'll ever love. Now, not everyone's a parent. Not everyone has the privilege of being a parent. Some people have made the choice not to be a parent. Some people are parents to their pets. However you're parenting, the parenting tenets, the tenets of parenting have changed so much. In this day and age, it's all about the gentle parenting, the permissive parenting, let's say, where we're like afraid of our kids. We don't want to restrict them in any way. We don't want to monitor their interactions in any way that might upset them. And I don't know how this happened, but what you create is a very enmeshed relationship that is upside down, where the parent is the child and the child is the parent. And that dynamic, I think, is unsustainable. Now, I'm not saying that we need to be yanking them up by the short hairs and spanking their butt and putting them on restriction and taking away their phone and hiding their computers. But I do think that there is, brace yourselves, some middle ground. And parenting is a full-time job. You can't part-time parent. And if you want to hear more about my parenting guidelines, we'll have to talk privately. But my husband and I, because we parented together, he didn't say, oh, I'm not changing diapers, or I'm not cleaning up vomit, or I'm not holding hair back, or I'm not going to miss an event because my kids are sick, or, you know, I'm not going to walk out of this restaurant because my kids are being assholes. I mean, are being ill-behaved. We did it together. We parented together. And we raised two lovely humans, very different humans, both lovely. And I think the teamwork makes the dream work. Parenting is something you need to do with a partner. I really do think. And I know there's single mothers out there that are killing it. And I mean, I don't know how you're doing it. I really don't. I couldn't imagine not having a co-parent. I really couldn't. And again, I've got no solutions. I just want to acknowledge the work. Okay. One person on Facebook sent me positivity as a P word and patience as a P word. Both are really good P words. I mean, positivity is something that we need to put back into politics instead of focusing on all the negative aspects, instead of focusing on all the terrible things. Now, I'm not being Pollyanna and we're only going to talk about happy things, but you can, in most cases, put a positive spin on things. And I think we need a little bit of that. A little Mary Poppins positivity. Even if it just helps you get through one day, it's worth it, right? And patience, oh my heavens. Everyone needs more patience. We need more patience behind the wheel. We need more patience with other people. We need patience when we're on the phone. We need patience when we're downloading a new app. We need patience when we're listening to someone tell us their problems and we already had the solution in the first 5 minutes. We got to give everyone some grace. And patience and grace, I think, are inextricably mixed. So let's work on being positive and having more patience. Now, my sister-in-law sent me a list, and she had a lot of peas. She must be popping her peas all over town. Punctuality, a virtue. Punctuality, not always easy. Punctuality is important. Pressure, I talked about pressure when I talked about sports. Pressure can be good. Pressure can be motivating. Pressure can be crippling. Pressure is P. Passion. Ooh la la. I would love to talk about passion. I think passion is vital. Passion for, you know, what you do for a living. Passion for your partner. Passion for parenting. You have to have passion for the things that you're choosing. Passion for your sport. Passion for learning. Perseverance. I remember when my older daughter was in elementary school, they used to give these like principal awards, and she got an award for perseverance. And she was like, oh gosh, this is not, like, who cares? You know, like, why can't I get an award for something else? And I was like, well, you're somebody who has some struggles and not everything's easy for you. And yet you just keep persevering. You just keep pushing. You keep grinding. So to get a reward, and an award saying that you demonstrate perseverance is like the highest honor for someone like my oldest daughter, because it shows that it's noticed by other people, that you're not using your inabilities, your disabilities as crutches. You're persevering. You're still doing it all. And I was very proud of her. The other word my sister-in-law had was possibility, which, gosh, You know, possibilities are endless. And this comes out in all kinds of conversations. Oh, the possibilities are endless. I mean, are they endless? I don't know. But you can see possibility in almost everything. And I think that's probably what she meant. You know, possibilities for peace, possibilities for happiness, possibilities for healing. And she and her husband just lost their dog, their 16-year-old beautiful dog, Pino. That's her favorite P. Rest in peace, Pino. You are a good one. Dearly loved. And I know Sherry and Pat are suffering right now, but the possibilities are endless for their healing and ways that they can heal. And, you know, I'm here for support in that healing in any way that I can be. Okay, I have three songs to play for you and one reading in Be Here Now. I just went into the table of contents and the first reading that started with the letter P, I took it. So I'm going to read that to you, but first I'm going to do two more acts of business. This is a PSA. It is for Ceres. C-E-R-E-S, Ceres Community Project, seeking volunteers to aid in growing, cooking, and delivering meals to clients in Sonoma County who are facing serious health challenges. The Ceres Community Project empowers young people as volunteer gardeners and chefs, educating the broader community about the connections between food choices and individual health, the community, and the planet. They partner with healthcare providers and insurers to demonstrate the impact of medically tailored meals to ensure that nutrition is a routine part of healthcare. Shifts are available Monday to Friday in Sebastopol. Visit ceresproject.org. That's ceresproject.org. That's a good one, the Ceres Project. I know a lot of kids look for like a senior project. This is a good one to do. Volunteer at the Ceres Community Project. And then my final business is a current event. It's Friday, September 19th. That's tomorrow. So experience a magical night honoring the incomparable First Lady of Jazz, Ella Fitzgerald. The OCA presents Stella Swings Ella on Friday, September 19th at 7 p.m. Bay Area songstress Stella Heath celebrated her standout performance in the Billie Holiday Project, and Stella Meets Nat brings Ella's timeless music to life in our acoustic sweet spot. Backed by an all-star ensemble, this show is a must-see homage to one of jazz's greatest voices. Find out more about the event by calling 707-874-9392 or visiting the Occidental Center for the Arts webpage, oca.org. OccidentalCenterForTheArts.org. That sounds really good. I love Ella Fitzgerald. I think that would be a really good show. A really good show. Okay. So let me cue up my music. So there's this song that I kept seeing on social media. And it was a song by Teddy Swims, Jelly Roll, featuring Rihanna. The song's called I Wasn't Enough. It is a beautiful. It is a chilling, beautiful song. I'm going to play that song right now. I have to get it off of YouTube because it's nowhere that I could find. So hopefully this works out. Let's listen to I Wasn't Enough by Jelly Roll, Rihanna, and Teddy Swims.
Embarrassing skid marks in your undies.
I gave you my sunrise. You left me in the night. And I keep asking myself why.
I built you a home in the center of my chest. Every heartbeat spelled out your name in my my breath. I caught every tear before it could fall. Held you like I was the answer to it all.
But love don't always speak the truth you wanna hear. Sometimes it's a whisper that fades into fear. And I'm standing here, broken and rough, facing the truth. Tried to hold on when the tide pulled away, but your heart was drifting to another bay. I watched your smile turn into a mask, and I kept begging for one more chance. But baby, no matter how high I climbed, you already
I love that song so much. Just crazy good lyrics. Okay, here's my Be Here Now reading. It's on page 27. It's called Possession. In his beloved book, The Little Prince, Antoine de Saint-Exupéry speaks gently to the art of admiring and savoring beautiful things without fixating ourselves upon possessing them. The inclination to possess things can cause us to hold on to more than we truly need to be happy. Our greed blinds us to the abundance we by nature already possess. Indeed, with a little practice, we can observe and treasure the resounding beauty of life at spirit level, then let go into even more beauty, knowing that through appreciative eyes, the magnificence of life is infinite. Moreover, the greatest treasures cannot be touched, even seen, but rather felt in the heart. People where you live, the little prince said, grow 5,000 roses in one garden, yet they do not find what they're looking for, and yet what they're looking for could be found in a single rose. Ooh, I like that a lot too. Okay, you're listening to KOWS LP 92.5 FM from Occidental, California, streaming on the web at kowsfm.com. My next song comes from an episode of The Bear, where in the background of the episode, a Bruce Springsteen song was playing. And my sister was like, wait till you get to this episode. You're not going to believe it, blah, 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 blah. And I just watched the episode the other day. The song is Tougher Than the Rest, which is a great Bruce Springsteen song. It's sung by Emmy Lou Harris. And this version is delightful. So I'm going to play that for you right now once I find it in my list of songs. But guess what? It's going to be the very last song because I just downloaded it after I asked Google who was singing it on The Bear. Tougher Than the Rest by Emmy Lou Harris. It's a great version.
Well, it's Saturday night, you're all dressed up in blue. I've been watching you go out, maybe you've been watching me too. So somebody ran out, left somebody's heart.
Okay, I was trying to pull the song up so I could look at the lyrics, and I ended up stopping it because that's how these hands of mine work. So my final song is a song that I downloaded a while ago because my husband said that I needed to listen to it. And it was kind of interesting because he came home and he said, oh, I just saw a friend of mine, and he said that his son has a new song out. And I was like, oh, great. So I've played Skylar Grey before, which I said is the girlfriend of one of Boyd's friend and client's sons. And the son is also a songwriter. So they wrote this song. Elliot Taylor is his name. He wrote this song, Nervous, featuring Skylar Grey and a guy called Masked Wolf. So I'm going to play that song, but just some final parting words. I'll be back on the radio on October 2nd. And who knows what letter of the alphabet I'm going to talk about then, or if I have something better to talk about. I mean, different, not better, because every topic is good, in my humble opinion. But I'll have this up tomorrow on my Spotify channel. And on my Spotify channel, I'm starting a new podcast with my sister called Off the Rails with Danny and Shaney. We came up with the idea on the radio the last time we were on the fly. And now I've ordered all the equipment. So I have all my stuff so I can have my own podcast studio. She's less than thrilled, but you know what? That's how it goes. We're still going to do it. Okay, this is Nervous by Elliot Taylor featuring Skylar Grey and Masked Wolf, whoever that is. But let's listen in.
My hands are steady, my heart beats slow, and hell no, I'm not sweating. Go ahead and bet it all that I won't make it. Raised by a legend, throw me in the dirt and show me there was diamonds in it. And I found more than you ever know. And I knew this day would come for me. I'm face to face with the enemy. I should be shaking, but I'm not nervous. Cause I'm right where I'm supposed to be. And all should be shaking, but I'm not nervous.
Got an angel on my shoulder, she raised me like a soldier. I ain't gonna cry for crying out loud. Gotta start from where it hit me, but I make it look pretty. Wearing shiners like I'm wearing a crown. It tastes like moonshine, sweet and bitter at the same time, yeah. Tried to wash it down with bourbon, but I came back up still burning. So I'm fire breathing now. I can't be bought and I can't be sold. I'm made of iron, I can't be broke. Throw me into the fire, fill my lungs with smoke. I'll only get higher, I'll never choke. No.
And I knew this day would come for me. I'm face to face with the enemy. I should be shaking, but I'm not. Should be shaking, but I'm not nervous.
Face to face with that mirror, yeah, my enemy is my own. I was so damn broke, I had to guard and take a loan. Now I hand them out, guess you reap what you